What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2019, starting to get into the week here. We have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. There's a lot going on, actually. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and observations. So let's get on into it. But before I get into the news here, I want to talk about a movie. Claire and I made a point last night of watching Vice. Now, this is a movie, it sort of did a fast burn in the theaters, and it's on cable pay-per-view right now. And I expect it'll be in the non-pay-per-view part of cable before too much longer. But this is the story, as they see it, of Dick Cheney and how he basically came to acquire far more power and authority than any other vice president in U.S. history. Now, normally the vice presidency is a nothing job, which they keep reiterating throughout the film. John Adams called it the most boring job in the entire government because all the vice president gets to do is break ties in the Senate and sit around waiting for the president to die. So they're going through it. Now, overall, the film covers a lot of the details that we were all watching as we went through that whole George W. Bush getting into Iraq situation. They cover a lot of it, Valerie Plame. In some cases, they're a little inaccurate, but they admit right up front in the movie. They have titles that say, this is based on a true story. Well, at least as far as we can tell, given that Dick Cheney is one of the most secretive people on earth, you know, but we tried. And the film stars Christian Bale as Dick Cheney, Amy Adams as Liz Cheney, and Steve Carell as George W. Bush. And Carell did a really good job, I thought. Well, they all did. Stellar cast. They did a really good cast. But they start out basically where 9/11 has just happened, and the alarms are sounding in the White House, and they're grabbing Dick Cheney and rushing him out of the room and off into the emergency center and so forth and so on. That isn't what exactly happened. And so I dug up this story, and I reposted it to whatreallyhappened.com. And this is a story you can find over at 911truth.org, and it has to do with Secretary Mineta's testimony before the 9/11 Commission, in which he says basically that Dick Cheney was just watching the plane coming in to the Pentagon. And there was a young man who came in and said the plane is 50 miles out, the plane is 30 miles out, the plane is 10 miles out. And the young man said to the vice president, do the orders still stand? And the vice president snapped at the young man saying, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? Now, the orders in question were a do not shoot down. And one of the aspects of 9/11 that was really very strange was that just a month and a half before 9/11, U.S. policy on intercepting aerial threats was changed. Prior to that, any military commander at any air base who detected an air threat coming on in could order their fighters to intercept if they felt it was needed. That got changed. So it required the direct authorization of the Secretary of Defense, who on the morning of 9/11 could not be found. And shortly after 9/11, the policy went back to as it was originally. So they missed that part of it. Now, the movie itself, looking at it from the point of view of a filmmaker, it's a little choppy. And the director was, I don't know if he was just in love with his own creativity or he just felt there wasn't enough spice in the story, being very dry political stuff. But there are some things that he does in there that are rather gratuitous, and I felt totally unnecessary. The film runs well over 2 hours. I think with a good editor, they could have cut at least half an hour out of there and not damage the story. But I still recommend that you take a look at it. and when it comes around, because we were all there. We watched it all happen. We did. And Christian Bale, he even gets the sneer. Right. Now, the only part of the movie I didn't like was at the very end when Chaney is being interviewed on TV, and all of a sudden he breaks the fourth wall and he looks directly at the motion picture camera and he launches into this thing about how he's never going to apologize. Well, you know something, I shouldn't spoil it all, but basically, you know, he tries to justify his behavior. Now, whether that's Chaney justifying Chaney or the film trying to make Chaney look good, I don't know, but you can decide for yourself. Anyway, so the film is called Vice, and I would give it 7 out of 10, and I'm a tough critic. All right, we're going to do a shout out now to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. So getting into the war zones, the situation over in Libya is very dynamic. Now, as you know, before General Khalifa Haftar started his march on Tripoli, the U.S. withdrew their forces, leaving Prime Minister Fayez al-Sarraj on his own. And the U.S. forces were literally evac'd out. And at the time, everybody would say, you know, what's going on? Does the U.S. just want the two governments to kill each other off, and then the U.S. can go back on in with a new installed puppet government? But according to this article from Sputnik News, what's going on here is that even though the United Nations supports Prime Minister Fayez al-Sarraj, basically the international community as a whole will support Khalifa Haftar so long as he resumes production in Libya's vast oil fields, which have been, a for the most part, shut down because of all the turmoil going back to the killing of Muammar Gaddafi. Did you know that Libya at one point was the wealthiest country in Africa, and it has been racked by chaos and turmoil and warring factions ever since this catastrophic intervention to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi? You know, but at least Hillary Clinton got a good laugh out of it. Apparently, Haftar's LNA, the Libyan National Army, is now heading west. They came out of the east. The east is their stronghold, and they're now heading west. And apparently, there were clashes south of Tripoli. So we're going to see what's happening. But right now, there's been a shakeout, so to speak. There are now two rival governments, one based in Tripoli, which is the internationally approved, originally U.S.-supported government, and the other in the eastern city of Tobruk, which is allied with Haftar. So, yeah, this is definitely a civil war, and it's going to get bloody. Now, Haftar's Libyan National Army began their advance on Tripoli last week, striking positions of armed forces loyal to the GNA at the city's defunct international airport on Tuesday after an attack on another airport a day earlier. Apparently, this is just now breaking, where Haftar is accusing Libya's GNA of cooperating with terrorists, which has sort of, I guess, become a thing in this day and age. And have you noticed in the Western media, anytime they talk about Haftar, it's always, he's Russian-backed. He's Russian-backed. He's backed by Russia. There's no information showing that to be true at all. In fact, Haftar used to be supported by the United States. He's a former CIA asset. But when he stops doing what he's told by the United States, well, he must be Russian-backed, because only people who are backed by Russia would refuse to do what the United States government tells them to do. That's just the way it's going to be. But looking at this article out of Global Research, and they do good work, they're saying is that Haftar looks like he genuinely believes he's operating in his homeland's true national interests. And it will, of course, be decades before Libya reaches the standard of living it enjoyed under Muammar Gaddafi. Now, over in Iran, as you've already heard, Donald Trump has designated the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps as a terrorist organization. Well, it's absurd to say that. They're state actors. They're in uniform. They have a chain of command. They're state actors. They don't fit the classic definition of a terrorist, which is somebody operating on their own with bombs trying to effect a socio-political change. But Trump is designating that apparently in an effort to further tighten economic and supply sanctions against Iran. And interestingly enough, this step led by the Department of State supposedly realizes the reality that Iran is not only a state sponsor of terrorism, but that the Iran Revolutionary Guards Corps actively participates in, finances, and promotes terrorism as a tool of statecraft. Now, there is a case of the pot calling the kettle black. And by the way, in Iran, they're saying exactly that. What are you talking about? Our soldiers are terrorists. You, the United States, are the biggest state sponsor of terror in the world. We've known for a long time the U.S. sponsored ISIS. That's a terrorist group. They sponsored the White Helmets. That's a terrorist group. They sponsored Al-Qaeda. That's a terrorist group. Anyway, so another interpretation of what's going on here. This is from Veterans Today. Trump is preparing for war on Iran on Netanyahu's orders. And it's saying it's clear that this move has been made on the direct orders of Benjamin Netanyahu. And the timing is a giveaway. It was one day before Israel goes to the polls, trying to get more votes from the Israeli right wing. We're going to bash on Iran. Vote for Netanyahu and Trump will bash on Iran. And Netanyahu came on out on the campaign trail and said that Trump named the Iranian guards a terror group at his, meaning Netanyahu's, request. Trump does what I tell him to do. Vote for me. I've got Trump in my back pocket. I've got Trump by his toupee, or whatever it is that Netanyahu is saying. But he's selling the idea that Trump is giving Netanyahu everything that Netanyahu wants. And so far, Trump has done exactly that. And so Netanyahu is campaigning on the idea that if he stays prime minister, the United States will remain fully committed to giving Israel whatever it wants, no matter who has to pay for it, no matter who has to die for it. Now, a lot of people are being very concerned about the fact that designating the Iranian Revolutionary Guards terrorists results in painting a big red target on the U.S. troops currently stationed in Iraq. And the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps is sort of like the U.S. National Guard. It isn't the formal army, but it is an adjunct to it. Now, if the problem, if the U.S. has a problem with the Iranian Corps actions, they should accuse the Iranian government of war crimes. States commit war crimes. There are international laws and institutions for dealing with war crimes. But the practical side of the issue is that Iraqi Shiite militias close to the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps are essentially the hosts and protectors of some, well, now it's 10,000 U.S. troops in Iraq. And that may complicate the situation. Now, Iran, proving that they are cool under pressure and still have a sense of humor, have now designated U.S. CENTCOM as a terror organization. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Paul in Montana, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Rivero. On the Drudge Report just now, there's an article that says Boise residents sue Air Force over proposed training above Idaho cities. Now, the alarm bell that goes off is all of our police and military are being trained by the Israeli Defense Forces, and the IDF, they're not police, they're an occupying army. So my question is, why are they practicing doing it here on us now? I mean, are we that far gone? Talk to me.
Well, what they're doing is they're practicing for urban warfare, and because the countries we're planning on invading are not willing to allow a dress rehearsal on their territory, they're doing the training here in the United States of America. And it has upset a lot of people. I remember, I think it was about a month ago, they were flying these helicopters between the skyscrapers in Los Angeles. There'd been no advance warning. People got very upset about it. And yeah, it's very unnerving to people. And it does provide a realistic urban environment for the military to train in. The other aspect of it is, I think they're trying to get the American people used to the idea that war is coming. Paul, you there? Okay, we lost him. Alrighty, getting on back to the war zones here. Now, Iran has once again confirmed that the U.S. supports ISIS, which, thank you, Iran, we already knew that, known it for quite some time. And Iran is now asking Iraq once again to expel all U.S. forces from Iraq as soon as possible. Easier said than done. Just ask Syria. And the issue is, you know, supposedly the U.S. and Iraq are friends, but Iraq is very nervous about all these armed forces on their soil. And they would like them to leave, but the U.S. doesn't show any signs of leaving. So what's Iraq going to do? Restart the war all over again? Now, what I want to know is, where's Muqtadir al-Sadr in all of this? Because he had made a statement a while back that if the U.S. forces stayed beyond the original agreement to leave, there had been a signed agreement saying U.S. forces will leave by this date. That date has come and gone a long time ago, and the U.S. forces are still there. Muqtadir al-Sadr basically said any U.S. forces in Iraq after that date, when they're supposed to be out, they are a legitimate target. So far, we haven't heard or seen anything from him, but that's another wild card out there in the hinterland. Talking yesterday about this story where the neocons are saying they want to use Turkey to ignite a regional war. And obviously, for a regional war, they want U.S. forces, your kids, all over the region. Yesterday, we talked about this incident in Yemen in which there was a warehouse that exploded right next to a schoolyard, killing 11 civilians, including a lot of children. And it was presumed to be a Saudi airstrike. Now, Saudi Arabia is not shy about saying, yes, we bombed this, we bombed that. But unusually, in this case, the Saudis are saying, no, we didn't have anything to do with this. So this has prompted the United Nations to call for a probe of this warehouse explosion to see exactly what happened and how it got hit, or if, alternatively, there was something inside that just exploded. So it's being treated as some mysterious explosion out of nowhere, and the Saudis have previously lied about responsibility. They want to know what's going on. 'Tis the season for elections. They're all over the place here. And Turkey just had their local elections, and they haven't gone too well for President Erdogan. In fact, losing, his party lost in the Istanbul vote, which his career started as the mayor of Istanbul. And so losing that city was quite a political blow. I think he wants a do-over. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones to Terry in Oregon. Aloha, Terry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I just look for Israel to go hog wild over the next year and a half just in case Trump doesn't get a second term. You know, they know they can get away with anything. Look for some false flags to get into Lebanon. And as a matter of fact, I just heard where Christopher Boland strongly suspects that the Marines that were attacked in Beirut with the bomb, that was an Israeli false flag. He doesn't have any proof, but he says he strongly suspects it. But
I've seen indications of that myself. And, of course, what did the United States do? 24 hours later, they invaded Grenada to pull the media's attention off of what was one of the most humiliating failures of military security in American history.
Yeah, except that it kind of backfired on the false flaggers because Reagan just pulled all the troops out. He didn't go crazy with the retaliation for that like they expected he would.
Well, they still got Reagan. They tricked him with that fake radio transmitter and got him to bomb Gaddafi. They missed Gaddafi, and they got his 5-year-old daughter.
Right. So, but look for troops going into Lebanon, you know, the southern part, and also the eastern border. And, you know, it's all a big game. Just look for all kinds of things happening in the next year and a half while he's still got Trump. That's all I had, Mike. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. Yeah, it is a very, very complex situation. And it's just going to take one hothead, one mistake for it to really spiral out of control here. Okay. Now, getting on back to Turkey. The U.S. has halted delivery of equipment related to the F-35 to Turkey as part of this little tiff over Erdogan's plans to move forward with buying the Russian S-400 air defense system over its U.S. almost not quite but more expensive equivalent. And since Erdogan is still intractable on that, Vice President Mike Pence is now threatening Turkey's future role in the NATO alliance, saying it's time to choose between remaining a NATO member or buying the Russian S-400. Here is my question. Does the United States, all on its own, have the authority to boot Turkey out of NATO? Or is it an empty threat? And with Mike Pence going around making all these threats and everything, and having watched that movie last night, Vice, Pence is starting to remind me a little bit of Dick Cheney. Over in Syria, the situation is at the moment relatively stable. There are some limited ISIS attacks on the U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces. That's over on the eastern bank of the Euphrates. And there are ceasefire violations in the Idlib demilitarized zone. So over the last couple of days, pro-militant sources are claiming that the Syrian Arab Army and even the Russian aerospace forces have delivered strikes on so-called opposition targets in northern Hama and southern Idlib. These seem to be propaganda exaggerations, but there are real attacks going on both sides. Meanwhile, there are indications that the United States and Israel are preparing for a coordinated campaign against Iranian forces stationed inside Syria that may also be the reason for those 10,000 combat troops, U.S. combat troops, in Iraq at the edge of the border. And, of course, it basically amounts to it's going to be another invasion of Syria. And Israel and the U.S. are going to say, Assad, this has nothing to do with you. We're going after the Iranians. And, of course, Assad is going to remember when the United States said, stay out of this, Assad. We're going after ISIS and al-Qaeda. And it turned out to be a big lie. But apparently, a little bit of good news, the Syrian Arab Army and the Russian forces have finally started evacuation of civilians from the al-Rukban refugee camp through open humanitarian corridors. Apparently, the U.S. backed down, just keeping them locked up. It was becoming too obvious that the U.S. wanted to keep all those refugees there as a pretext to keep their military forces on the Baghdad-Damascus highway in the area of Al-Tanf. However, even if the Rukban camp is emptied, doesn't mean the U.S. is going to leave. U.S. seems to have this attitude, here we are, and here we stay. Yes, too many of our military command men reading Frank Herbert's Dune. All right, we're going to take another break here for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to take some phone calls now. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, did you hear anything about an F-35 visiting Davy Jones Locker?
Yes, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, and I'm sure Boeing is breathing a sigh of relief and saying, oh, good, now it's Lockheed Martin's turn.
I didn't know Boeing made, like, boats.
Well, they may have well, we're talking Lockheed Martin makes the
Lockheed
F-35.
Martin, yes,
they may have made a submarine.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I don't know if you heard this, but... Benny Gantz, like, they're saying he won. Like, that's just what the exit polls are showing. Like, he won a lot of seats.
There's a couple of different exit polls, and right now they're neck and neck, and everybody is saying it's too close to call. But, yeah, it does look like he's ahead by enough seats to where Netanyahu may no longer be prime minister, which I think would be good. Not that Benny Gantz is going to be any easier on the Palestinians, but at least Netanyahu gets to deal with his corruption charges, without any distractions.
And then before I let you go, I'm just going to mention with Trump again, it seems like it's make Israel great again, because, Mike, he got rid of these two people in his administration because they weren't doing anything with the border. Now, if we give him a week and he doesn't do anything, then it's pretty much over with him, right? Because now if he puts new people in, nothing gets done, then you know it's him with the border.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Have a good rest of the show.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. And we're going to switch over to Layla in Canada. Aloha, Layla. Welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
This is Jim in Chicago. Michael?
All right. We'll take Jim in Chicago, and then we'll go to Layla after that. I'm not sure what happened. Anyway, Jim, okay. What's on your mind?
A couple of things. Yesterday, Donald Trump, he decides to go after the Iranian Red Guard, and also he went after the Cuban Baseball League, which, and this is kind of ironic because back in 1995, he sent people down to Cuba because he wanted to build a hotel and a casino down there, and the United States government, I guess they fined him. So that was stopped, and that's something he was not very happy about. And then I read in the paper today and also yesterday where in 2016, Donald Trump was sending money laundering money to the Iranian Red Guard because he was trying to build a hotel in Azerbaijan. Did you read that story?
Yes.
Yeah, so what do you think of that?
Well, I think, you know, obviously the Trump Organization is no longer directly under the control of Donald Trump. It's under the control of his family. And I think they're just trying to look at business opportunities. Right now, with all the scrutiny that Donald Trump is under from the Democrats, I don't think they're going to take the chance on doing anything necessarily underhanded. So I could be wrong on that, but I think, you know, it'd probably be better if we stay focused. And first of all, it's not the Iranian Red Guard, it's the Iranian Republican Guard. And what Trump blocked was Major League Baseball, which up until now was allowed to recruit and hire Cuban baseball players because those Cubans know how to play baseball. They do it a lot. They grow up with it, and they are absolutely amazing. And Major League Baseball really likes having them on their teams. That, unfortunately, is now going to go away. And again, I don't think it's Trump's revenge against Cuba for the failure of that hotel deal, because after all, that was blocked by the U.S. government. But it may be a continuation of Trump's attempt to start isolating Cuba and pay back for its support of Venezuela.
Well, that's a possibility. Did you hear what John Bolton said, though, regarding the situation with the Cuban baseball players? He stated, well, this is a way of stopping human trafficking.
Human trafficking. You know what? Five or six Cuban ball players joining the major league teams, and that's human trafficking. I mean, for one thing, these are the people we should be allowing into our country. They're skilled. They're wanted. They're good for the economy. You know, if Bolton's worried about, you know, human trafficking, he should be down there in Arizona and Texas on that border. I mean, Bolton, I think it's time to take a drug test. That's just idiotic of him to say.
Right. Well, Mike, I'm going to let you go. You take care.
Okay, thanks an awful lot. And this time, for sure, we're going to Layla in Canada. Layla, aloha. Sorry about the earlier goof. What's on your mind?
That's okay. I was wondering if you... I've never heard the name John McLaughlin as a prominent advisor and pollster to Trump in 2016, but apparently he's been Netanyahu's pollster and advisor, and he's done that for many global conservative parties, and he's using the same tactics of what they did was the Arabs are voting in droves, get out there and vote. And of course the Arab turnout is barely around 50% of the eligible Arab voters, but it's very close, and I don't know, it's 37 for Gantz to 35 for Netanyahu. And I don't know if that's percentage points or seats, but ultimately I think it's Reuven Rivlin, isn't it, who actually says who's going to form the next government?
Well, it depends, because if Gantz wins the majority of seats, it doesn't prevent Netanyahu from trying to go to other non-aligned seats and form a coalition to regain the prime ministership, which would make it a fourth term, which is like history-making.
Well, actually, I think I counted there's something like 12 parties other than Kahol Lavan, which is Benny Gantz and Yair Lapid and Likud. There are 12 other parties that were running, four of them on the far left as considered Arab parties. So, yes, it's still entirely likely, even though it's so close, that Netanyahu's going to form the next government. If Gantz does, I suspect he will fall very quickly. His government will fall because of Netanyahu's underhanded techniques and his control of the institutions. And the reason I'm so concerned with what happens in Israel is because I look at Israel as the chessboard for wars around the world. And I think we all have to start looking at Israel in that way. It's not simply what one country, one artificially created country is doing to those that it occupies, the Palestinians. I think we're being distracted by that. We've got to look at Israel as the global Zionist movement, the fulfillment of the protocols. And we all know what we're talking about when we talk about the protocols, because they've all come true. Anyone who was ever able to get a copy of the protocols of the leaders of the elders or the elders of Zion, everything that was stated in there as the objective in this purportedly false record is coming true. And it's all going to be enacted, has been enacted, out of Israel. But I was stunned that John McLaughlin, was also the pollster for people like Jeb Bush. So he also ran Trump's primary. So if anyone was able to advise Trump on calling Jeb Bush low energy, who was his strongest opponent, it was probably McLaughlin, having worked with Jeb Bush. Anyway, I will let you go. It is just, we've got to keep an eye on whatever is happening around the world. And by the way, Putin also helped Netanyahu by meeting with him 5 days before the election, because Putin is well liked by the Russian voters in Israel. So it's not, you know, this Putin guy is another one who's playing both sides of the fence. Anyway, I'll let you go.
All right. Take care. Thanks an awful lot, Leila. And I would rather say that Putin isn't playing both sides of the fence. He's trying to basically be above the partisanship, and he's trying to just be nice with everybody up to the point where it's time to not be nice. And I think Putin genuinely is trying to avoid that time. So we'll see what's going to happen over there in Israel. Of course, if Benny Gantz wins the majority of seats in the election, he can also go to those other 12 political parties and say, form a coalition with me. So this thing may not be over. And we could even see this thing lead up to more wet work like we saw with Yitzhak Rabin all those years ago. Okay, now, getting on back to the war zones. Okay, the U.S. invaded Iraq. They annoyed 60% of the Shiite population who fought back. And they've blamed Iran for killing 608 U.S. troops. And it's a big talking point. This was designed for Special Envoy Brian Hook to give hawkish speeches on Iran. The briefing estimated that Iran was responsible for the deaths of 608 U.S. troops during the Iraq War. Notice they didn't say Iran killed those troops, merely that it was responsible. And this was an upward revision from a 2015 estimate of 500. The most accurate estimate, of course, would be zero, because despite years of anti-Iran rhetoric, the United States has never conclusively pinned a single death on the Iranian government or its forces. But then we know with this government, truth just absolutely does not matter. And that was something else that came through on that movie Vice, along with the heavy use of focus groups. So weird, very loud bird outside the window here. So the propaganda is still going on. But that's something that I've come to understand over these last 25 years. The government is totally unconcerned with truth. They're going to say or show you whatever they think will get you to do what they want. Support a war in Iraq, support a war in Syria, support a war in Afghanistan, support a war in Australia, support a war in who knows where. We got a good demonstration of that over the last 2 years with this Trump-Russia collusion story, for which nobody has apologized and nobody has been fired. Because that's how you are controlled. You are lied to. We live in a real life version of the Matrix, where everything presented to us in newspapers, radio news, TV news, it is an illusion to control us. So anyway, as of the last time I checked in with CNN, Gantz is ahead, and apparently an exit poll conducted by Israel's Channel 12 has Likud Party with 33 seats and Benny Gantz's Blue and White Party with 37 seats. And I can already hear Bibi Netanyahu out there screaming, Russian interference. It's Russian interference. Russia interfered with our elections. So Netanyahu was really out there pounding the pavement at the last minute. Went down to the beaches to try and get the people lying on the beaches to get up and go vote. And as Layla mentioned, that idea of the Arabs are going to vote in droves, that one fell apart. Arab turnout is at a record low. Some people are saying it's simply because the Arab voters are completely disenchanted with the Israeli government. The other part is the fact that apparently the Likud put 1,200 hidden cameras in the Arab polling sites and then let the word get on out. That may have scared a lot of Arabs and convinced them to stay home. All righty. Over in the West Bank, there's this controversial Israeli settler activist, Daniela Weiss, and in an interview with Haaretz said that her vision of a future Israel following the impending Israeli annexation of the West Bank includes parts of Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Iraq, and Iran. Remember what we said about Eretz Israel. And she went on to say that this future greater Israel is not extreme, but it's a basic Jewish approach, and it's the only way to continue Zionism. And then we'll take a little bit more of that country and a little bit more of that country and a little bit more of that country. Now, the rhetoric between Israel and Gaza continues to escalate. The moment the ceasefire seems to be holding. But Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar has promised that if Israel launches another attack on Gaza, Hamas will force Israel to evacuate not only the settlements near the Gaza border, but some of its main cities, such as Ashdod, Ashkelon, Negev, and Tel Aviv. And Sinwar said, we are 10 times stronger than we were in 2014, which was the previous Israeli-Gaza conflict. I don't know, it sounds a little braggadocio to me. Sinwar noted that Israel will only suffer if the war is imposed against the Gaza Strip. He promised that in this case, Hamas would act as shield and sword to the inhabitants of the region. And of course, he's responding to the fact that Israel has repeatedly bombarded Hamas positions in Gaza in response to flaming balloons and kites and occasional missile launches, which may or may not have come from Gaza. So apparently, despite recent ceasefire understandings, the conflict has started to crank on up yet again. Alrighty. Up in Kosovo, and I know this is out on a tangent here, but I felt this was important to get on in here. Kosovo's Prime Minister Ramush Haradinaj said that his government's policies serve U.S. interests against Serbia and Russia, and that he is only following Washington's orders. The Albanian people in all of our lands are part of what America is leading throughout the global plan. We are together. I am a soldier of America on the ground. I only carry out the orders, the premier said. This was in the Albanian language, Gazetica Blik. All right, we got to take another break here for commercials, and we'll be right back after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Over in the Sudan, things have really been kicking up. There have been protests for a while now. Now it's turning into actual conflict. Yesterday, we reported on how some of the protesters had actually confronted some of the police and actually grabbed their weapons and opened fire. So now the big question is, whose side are Sudan's armed forces going to come down on? Will the army side with the people or with the regime. That will decide what's going to happen. So apparently the protesters are staging a sit-in within the headquarters of the armed forces in central Khartoum, demanding that the military intervene in support of this four-month-long popular uprising. So much upset in the world. I wonder if this is another U.S.-sponsored covert overthrow. All righty. Over in Venezuela, China is now starting to talk tough, and it takes the United States to task, basically saying, no, this is not your backyard. And we have as much right to be here in South America as you do to be in, well, for example, Syria. Except, of course, we're here by invitation. And so China is defending Russia's deployment of troops, and to sort of punctuate the matter, Chinese military personnel have now arrived in Venezuela over this last weekend. That is a watershed moment. So the big question is, does the United States want to risk war with both Russia and China in order to stage a military intervention in Venezuela, just to get that Maduro out and make sure Venezuela's oil is sold only for the U.S. dollar? And maybe that's the reason why Pat Robertson, who is supposed to be a Christian and thou shalt not kill, and he's apparently out on his show saying it's time for a drone strike against Maduro. Well, Pat... You can find him. I mean, I imagine that Maduro, because remember, a couple of months ago, somebody tried to assassinate Maduro with a pair of exploding drones. So I think Maduro's probably keeping his exact location pretty much a secret here. Meanwhile, Sergei Lavrov is saying that Venezuela is not going to become a second Syria, and that from his conversations that he's had with other governments in South America, that the majority of them will not back a military invasion. So Juan Guaido is still out there saying, I'm the president, I'm the president, I'm the president. People are attacking him. What a mess here. Now, here's an interesting development. China has opened a new border crossing with North Korea in Jilin province. And it's a highway port, meaning it's not just a little gate people can go back and forth. It's a commerce barrier. And that is a significant statement of cooperation between China and North Korea. May even be part, eventually, of the One Belt, One Road. Got to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.